Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Novice Hunter Podcast. In this podcast, I find experienced hunters who are willing to offer tips and advice to beginner hunters, such as myself, on how to be more successful in the field. All right, everyone, episode 24. This episode is a gear episode, mainly for archery. We meet up with Reggie Gillens. Reggie Gillens is from Southern Utah, and he noticed that his hunting technique was solely dependent on a range finder, so he developed a new product called the Range Viewer. He and I talk about the physics and science of your eye that helps you gauge. This little device helps you gauge distance without the need of a rangefinder, so you can be a full draw or and still be able to range instead of having to, you know, put your arrow back, range, and then go to full draw again. This one allows you to go into full draw and then range using a range viewer. We talk about his hunting experience in Colorado, in Arizona, and also in Utah, and how this product, it's a brand new product. I think he's been working on it for about a year, and he actually was able to go to ATA earlier this year and put his product in front of other archery vendors. So he and I talk. If you look online, you can go on to rangeviewer.myshopify.com. You can check out how it works. He also has YouTube videos that are accessible through his Instagram about how it works and how the science works behind it. He goes into detail about it, and extremely informative. I think it's a great new technology for new hunters, because like for me, I want to buy a rangefinder, but if I want to buy a quality rangefinder, I have to drop $200. And so, I mean, I still want to buy one for even rifle and for, you know, I still want to buy one for archery. However, the more experience I can get at full draw and ranging, the better it'll be for me in the long run. So I urge you to go check this out. It's a really cool little device that just hooks right onto your bow, right onto the, oh my gosh, I can't even remember what it's called. The main part of your bow. Oh my. We talked about it in the episode. I feel embarrassed not knowing what it's called right now. But it's really cool. Check them out. Remember to like, subscribe to this, and rate this podcast on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you see or listen, wherever you listen to podcasts, check them out. And we want to hear from you. I want to hear your questions. I want to hear your concerns. You can send me a message on Instagram. That's at @the_novice_hunter_podcast. You can find me there. And follow me on my adventures. All right, everyone. Here's Reggie. This episode had some connectivity issues. I mentioned it here in the podcast that it might be because Android versus Apple. I don't know. Just bear with me. It's a little choppy, but, and Reggie, I apologize for that when you listen to this episode, but enjoy it. It's still very informative. I just remember what it was called. It's called a riser. The main part of your bow is the riser, and that's where the range viewer connects to. So, all right, everyone, enjoy. All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of the Novice Hunter Podcast. We have Reggie Gillens with us today. How are you, Reggie?
Yeah, doing great. All right, Reggie, go ahead and give us a quick intro of yourself, hunting background, maybe where you're from. If you'd like, you tell us what you do for a living. But yeah, we'll just turn the time over to you.
Yeah, sounds good. So yeah, my name's Reggie Gillins. Grew up in Southern Utah, small farm town guy. Basically, grew up on a dairy farm.
Oh, really?
It's been in the family business for quite a while, 30, 40 years, and learned how to work hard and worked around family and uncles. And it's actually my uncle and my Uncle Steve and cousin Corey who got me into bow hunting. So that's kind of what my passion is right now. And started as a young guy, about 11, 12, got one of my first bows, one of those eagles, and had a Browning. And do you remember any of those bows?
What was it called again?
It's called a Golden Eagle.
I had a PSE. It was my first bow, and I bought it from, like, I found it at a yard sale, and the guy used it for bow fishing, and it had the tiny little cams on it. I think it was at least 25, 30 years old when I bought it, and yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy how much the technology's changed since then.
Yeah, it's made it a lot nicer, and started there flipping arrows at Bell's out at the dairy farm, and kind of learned how to hunt mule deer down here, and just kind of advanced it since then. I've got a small family, 4 boys and a wonderful wife, and she's let me over the last, I say let me, a lot of guys probably feel that their wife lets them go hunting. Over the last couple of years, hunted quite a bit more out of state and like Idaho and Colorado and Arizona, just kind of following that passion a little bit.
Where have you, in which state have you found the most success?
I spent a lot of time here in Utah. Utah's got quite a few animals, but it's only been like one.
Let me rephrase that then. What state, other than your
home state? Oh, yeah. Arizona's treated me pretty good, too. Got a buck down there and hopefully draw a kaibab tag and get an elk tag here pretty quick. But, yeah, Idaho has plenty of animals. Colorado has plenty of animals. It seems like if you spread yourself too thin sometimes too, you run out of time, but I'm trying to get that all figured out, trying to be a multi-state hunter. So far, it's been all right.
I've heard in the research that I've done and I've read that the largest elk herd is actually in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how updated that information was. Is that what you have heard as well or have read about?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I had a tag on, it's one of those high top mountains. But anyway, I believe it's around 200, isn't it? Is that something that you heard?
200,000.
Yeah, 200,000.
Yeah, that's the number that I've heard of as well.
And when this unit that I went to was for deer, and it was a over-the-counter tag, and I was just excited to go and had the Colorado buzz for big deer, and got there, and all I saw was elk. Yeah, so I know where to go hunt elk in Colorado now.
You there, Reggie?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, sometimes it cuts out like that, and it's, unfortunate sometimes, but that's just how it works.
Yep, no problem.
All right. You're talking about, you said you found out where to find elk in Colorado.
Yeah, there's a place around Unit 28. So if anybody's looking to go hunt elk, that's probably one of the good places to go. But I do have an elk tag in Idaho this year. So I think I'm going to focus on a different unit, of course, in Colorado. I've got 3 points down there, and it seems like if you are new into hunting and you want to go hunt, Colorado gives you some options for bow hunting. Sometimes you wait a little bit longer for muzzleloader and gun, but a lot of times 0 or 1 point, you can find a unit. And after I burn these three, I'll probably go to just looking for units with zero or take 0 or 1 points, so I can just keep on hunting.
Cool. I don't have any points or any type of stuff yet in any other state right now. I'm just focusing on Idaho first.
Yeah, and there's plenty to do in Idaho. And the way they do their draw results too is, I mean, if everybody's in there, you got a chance, and outer staters even had a chance, have a good chance of drawing. So,
Yep.
and I think they have a lot of over the counter too, don't they?
Yes, there are a lot of over the counter opportunities. There's a like when I went hunting this past year, mine was an over the counter elk tag, and it was the way it worked out, you could kill a bull or a cow with your bow, or you could kill a cow with a muzzle loader in late November, early December. So, yeah.
Nice. Plenty of chances to go and get some experience under your belt.
Yeah, and actually this coming season, they're coming out with new regulations and new seasons, or I guess new, they've proposed a few different hunts, and the unit that I was in last year, it would actually, the season for cows would be from early August all the way until the end of November. So before it was just, 30 days of muzzle loader, but now it's going to be basically 4 months of rifle, just regular rifle for any cow.
Well, there must be a need there to control the elk herd. I think Idaho has the second largest elk herd though, so I
Yeah.
guess the division's doing their job.
Yeah, in this area that we go, there's a lot of farmland. So
Got
landowners want to keep elk away from their crop. So
it. Yeah, that's understandable.
yeah, and so it's, there's pros and cons there, obviously. So, but we're pretty excited. They just had a couple of meeting this week. You could public meeting with Fish and Game. You could go in and give your input and on the new proposals. So they're going to finalize them here pretty soon, I think. We don't put in for our draws until May, and they're not we don't know until July. It takes forever for
Yeah, they probably have to do. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, they're probably still doing some number counting or something with winter kill, or just wondering what that might be, what's going on.
elk. Yeah, I know first in some of the areas the hunting season can go all the way to February for elk, so. But those aren't general. I think those are control tags or landowner tags. I don't remember. Sorry, Reggie. I think it's what I've noticed in the past is sometimes if it's an Apple and an Android trying to talk to each other, it's a little rough. I've also had trouble if there's three people or three phones involved in one call, that tends to cut things out too. So.
No problem. Whenever it pops back up, I get to see your face holding your little daughter, so
Good. That means I know it's working.
yeah.
All right, Reggie, go ahead and explain a little bit about this range viewer. I had a chance to check it out online, and it's just looking at it's actually a fairly simple concept, but like you were explaining to me the other day, it has, you've done it quite the homework on it as far as what your eye does, the physics and the ranging. I mean, it's really cool, but when I first saw it, I thought it'd be a lot more involved, but it's really, at the first look of it, it's actually quite simple.
Yep, it's a piece of acrylic with those special mathematical cutouts in them. Yeah, I over the last 4 or 5 years have just become kind of more frustrated with, I guess, my hunting technique, or not practicing enough, or kind of feeling like I always needed to use a rangefinder, which you need to know the yardage unless you've practiced so much that you're an expert at judging distance and guessing it. But we know that's not always the most accurate. So I ran into a hunting situation. Goodness, I was up on the Wasatch Front doing extended archery, freezing. Me and buddies first glassed up some bucks and made a plan and moved in on them, and I got up ahead of the drainage, and another one was coming from the bottom, and I was in there for about 45 minutes. And did I thought I had it all planned out, up against a tree, and basically had the range finder already pre-ranged some trees out in front of me. Saw the deer coming as this buck was pushing a doe, and there was about, oh, three other does with him, and they were all moving my way. So I put the range finder down, and goodness, I was hoping they were going to come where I thought. Well, they didn't. And then the other does moved in within 10 yards of me. As soon as that buck was within shooting distance, moving, just constantly moving, chasing this doe, I didn't dare to re-range. So I went with my experience and knew if I was going to range too, those deer right next to me would probably just run off and everything would run off. And then I'll just have fun freezing in the snow. But I drew my bow, the doe spooked. And then that buck chasing the doe didn't immediately spook off, and they started moving away from all the yardages that I already pre-ranged and estimated a yardage, and hit him low in the shoulder. Didn't penetrate about my broadhead, my expandable broadhead, and didn't go in and drop. And from that day forth, I was looking on the hunting market for anything that could go on my bow so I could range at full draw to save time and in that shooting position. Man, I read a quote Fred Bear said. He goes, "The best camouflage is holding still and being quiet." So as an archer, if you can be at full draw and just ready for your target to come through there, you've got that advantage. So since then, I've been researching how our eyes work and the physics of our eyes, and was able to come across some information that a smart physicist was able to publish on how to do these calculations. And I knew it had to be draw length specific. It needed to be the same place every time. And then I had to figure out the data about these deer. And then that's when it went into work and where it kind of got a little interesting from my wife's standpoint. We'd be driving down the road and there'd be, of course, an animal hit on the side of the road, which is unfortunate, but it provided me an opportunity to pull over and measure it. So that's
All
kind of
right.
how I started gathering all this data, and then trail cam pictures and one-on-one mapping. And once I got all my data together, I was like, I know there's got to be more out there. So I called one of the largest taxidermy companies in the country, and McKenzie County Taxidermy. They provided me with the data that I needed. So it's set up for mature animals, because once they are mature, then there's only about a 5% variance. And I use that data with a draw length.
All right, I
Hey.
changed to LTE, so maybe that'll help us out a little bit instead of having on Wi-Fi. I don't know, but let's try it.
Okay.
All right, you're talking about you're compiling all the data, and you just got a bunch of data from a taxidermist, a very large taxidermist.
Yep. So the McKenzie County Taxidermy company that provides all the full body mounts supplied me with the data on the last 30 years that they've been collecting, measuring these animals that have been brought into them. And they gave me the data that I needed. So the way our eyes work, the larger of an object we can see, the more we can determine the change, the more we can determine how much it changes over a yard, 2 yards, 3 yards. So there's been basically and products on the market that have measured from the top of the back to the belly, range anywhere from 16, 18 inches, and then a mature animal can be up to 22 inches. That change throws the yardage off, but it's harder for us to determine a change over a distance. So that's about, yeah, like I said, 18, 20 inches. Whereas from the front shoulder to the hind end, you're getting basically 40 inches. You're doubling everything. So just the way math works, if you can double your odds, it's gonna calculate more to your favor. So that's the way it's set up. I found that if you measured from the front end front shoulder. So basically where it comes into the tip of, I like to say the tip of the arrow from the shoulder blade down to the front and then into the leg to the hind end. That 40 inches for basically deer, and goodness, elk are about 56 inches. And of course there's some variation in there between the animals. But that 5% variation minimizes being off only 2 to 3 yards versus the other way was you're off 6 to 9 yards. And that just wasn't acceptable for me. So I, yeah, created the range viewer. And so far I'm claiming it as the most accurate bracket style range finding device that's been made that I can even find and research. I was able to compensate and put angle compensation into the calculations. So there's just slight aiming adjustments, and it works pretty slick.
Wow, that's so. When did you first? When was your first prototype? And what's been going on since then? Have you helped? Have you provided to friends and family? And what's their feedback?
Yeah, getting excellent feedback. It's about a year in the working now. To this day, I wish we could say we've harvested something with it. I passed on a few deer this year. But guys that have been practicing with it love the concept, being able to be at full draw, put it on their bow, and accurately range without guessing. So yeah, close family, friends. There's some other guys around the country that I'm pretty big into bow hunting, and I'm hoping to start working with them a little bit more and get the information out there for everybody to use.
Right. And from what you were from our other conversation, you're saying that you make these yourself. Sorry, Reggie, I'm trying to figure this out.
No problem.
So I was asking, you were telling me that you make these yourself, right?
I do. Yep. I looked into getting someone else to manufacture them and cut them, and that was going to be quite expensive up front. So took the bull by the horns and decided to make them myself. So there's a bracket that is made that has a rubber coating over it, so it's nice and it protects from it rubbing on your bone and keeps it in place. But the cutout part is laser cut. So I went out and purchased a laser cutter and figured out how to use it and draw up some CAD drawings and got that process worked out. And now before I was making them by hand and cutting them with a Dremel tool, and they were pretty accurate. But now when I laser cut them, they're within 2/100ths. So
Right.
2/100ths of a millimeter. So they're pretty accurate.
And you're also telling me they're specific to each animal and draw length, right?
Yeah, correct. So I'll gather the information from an individual. So say they're at a 30-inch draw length, and in general, your string comes just past your eye about an inch. So a person with a 30-inch draw length, I would make them a 29-inch range viewer for the species of their choice. And what that does is it cuts down that variation, because if say a 26-inch draw length guy used one cut for all for a 36, or sorry, for a 30-inch draw length, that 4 inches would basically equate to 4 yards alone. And then if you're trying to use a mule deer one for an elk, that'd throw it off another 10 yards. So you're talking a 14-yard difference if you're not making them species specific and draw length specific, is what I found.
Wow. For our listeners out there, how do I determine my draw length? What are the measurements that I need to know?
Yep,
Or how do I measure it?
when you come to when you draw your bow back, and usually each bow is set up to either 27, 27 and a half, 28, 28 and a half, and that kind of acts as its own tape measure. And it should be either on the cams, but if you're not fully aware of that, you just come to full draw. So if you got your trigger onto your string or D loop and you draw back and anchor, when you're anchored, you're usually anchoring close to your nose, or you have a little kisser button that goes into the corner of your lip. You'll hold that position, and then you'll just have somebody measure from. So if you're right-handed and your right eye dominant, you're looking through your peep with your right eye, you'll just have somebody measure from the front of your eye to the center of your riser. And in general, that's an inch less than your draw length. So what's been easiest is I've just been asking people what their draw length are and making them one for them. And then this bracket, you can finch. So there's a little bit of adjustment that you can make. So once it gets on your bow, you just double check that measurement. And if it, say you order a mule deer that's 29 inches and you put it on your bow and it happens to be like 28 and three quarters, then you just move it to a different point where you screw it in or slide it a little bit and you're good to go. There's no extra tuning or anything else. It's just like a range finder. So if like you're using a range finder, you're clicking on an object and it says 20 and then use your 20 yard pin. When you're ranging with the range viewer, there's hash marks on there for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 when they're broadside and slightly angling. And there's also 5 yard markings too, so 25. But if you see that it's 20, you just use your 20 yard pin. If you see it's 28 and you got a 20 and a 30 yard pin, you kind of have to pin gap a little bit, but practicing, you're going to get pretty good at holding 28 where you need to, and you're good to go.
Interesting. Yeah, it's like I said earlier, it's the design of it is very simple. However, you've done your research and the mathematics and the physics that it really takes into account how well your depth perception is naturally with your eye, with just an aid of basically a measurement. From what I've noticed, it's just a Yeah, just a measurement on with on that on the range viewer. And it's bit, I mean, like I said, it on the surface it looks very simple, but it's actually very the mathematics and the physics are really complemented.
Yep, and it's how every one of our eyes works. So that's what makes it a little bit easier. If you've got better than 20/40 vision and those objects don't look hazy out there, you can work it out and it works perfect. I notice even guys that are farsighted, which I am, and one of my eyes is about 20/50, I can still accurately pull out the measurements that I need to. The object farther away, so the animal looks.
All right, we're back.
We're here.
I get about anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes and then it cuts out.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no problem. So what I was saying is, your vision, if like for me, I'm 20/50 in one eye, and I just don't like wearing contacts out hunting if I'm hunting for 3 days, but I can still see the edges of the animal. And then as it gets closer, the range viewer isn't hazy or anything like that to me. Our eyes are so powerful that even a 0.5 millimeter change, we can recognize it in correlation with the range viewer because we're viewing such a large target. Man, I wish when I'm thinking back now, I mean it's a tool just like any other tool that you would use in your hunting scenario. Is you got to spend a little time with it, feel comfortable with how it works, and there's like I said. Cool. There's still going to be some variation in the animals, and I'm not trying to say that this is going to be 100% on all the time because there's about about an average of 3 inches, or sorry, 3 yards that it could vary at any time, and an individual just have to feel comfortable with it. So when I'm out hunting, I've been studying mule deer and kind of shapes and age. So you have to determine, hey, is this a mature animal? And you got to determine if you're on an angle 10 to 25 degrees, it'll do that angle compensation. And you'll aim dead center target and know that, hey, I'm going to hit dead center, or I could hit 3 inches higher. So you just have to take that into account and feel comfortable with that. And if you're on level ground and it's a mature animal, then you just hold your pin just above center a couple inches and know that it's going to hit a couple inches high, or it could hit 3 to 4 inches lower. And that's just the nature of how animals vary, even if they are mature, that 5%. And so far I felt comfortable with it, and yeah, looking forward to putting it to some good use this year. And I've got some individuals that hunt quite a bit, and they're gonna put it to use, so we should have some pretty good success stories coming this year.
Wow, cool. Yeah, I'm excited to hear more about it. I think it so you said when we were talking before, you said you had the opportunity to go to ATA earlier this year.
Yeah, it was fun. My
Did you
first time.
set up a booth or anything, or was it just kind of go as a
Yeah, I set up a booth. I went in as a new company, so basically through their innovation zone. And goodness, there were at least 16 to 20 of us in there. They gave you a little booth space, and all the other manufacturers and large companies in the archery industry are there. And quite a few circled through, like Lancaster Archery. There was a guy with the Pursuit Channel. He was there coming through too, and then just other hunters in the hunting industry came through, and I got some excellent feedback. Was able to put one in their hands and able to demonstrate it, and it's so interesting to see the look on their face when they accurately range an object without a range finder. Yeah, it's pretty
So
fun
do
to watch.
you, so you have them come to draw, and then you have them bring a range finder as well, and then they say, "Oh, it looks like it's 20 yards," and then you prove it with the range finder.
Yep, correct. Yep.
That's really cool.
So got some good feedback, and it's and just getting into the industry, the archery industry, and making good contacts, and realizing that it's going to take some time,
Of
but
course, yeah.
it'll be worth it.
Yeah, any type of, obviously archery is very, the company, I mean, the industry itself is very specific and very niche already. So to start in that and to start from the ground is definitely a challenge, I can imagine.
Yep. And some of the older style ones on the market, of course they weren't draw length specific, and some weren't even species specific. So there was a little bad taste in the market. And I mean, if you were a 28 inch guy hunting a whitetail, you were golden. But if you were
A
29,
32,
30,
yeah, looking for elk.
yeah, for elk, kids, you were frustrated, so.
I'm sure that's, wow, that's really cool. So I guess this is the way to do it. Reach out to people, network, and get as many people trying it out as you can. It's going to be difficult. I'd like to try it for sure. I'd like to go on your website and order one.
Yep. Yeah, we'll get you set up, and yeah, we'll get you as many as you need. You got one, don't you?
Well, right
White.
now I probably just need an elk one because I haven't tried for any other species yet, so.
Yeah, elk are so big that it works so well on elk. It works the best on elk, to tell you the truth, just because there's such a large part of the body that you're measuring, but it's accurate for the rest of them too.
Have you tried one for, this is probably down the road, maybe in your product development, but have you thought about one for moose, or are moose just too big for the size of it?
Oh yeah, I could make one for moose, and then it's kind of the hunting scenario. I mean, sometimes you got moose that are out there standing, and you've got time, you know what I mean, to range with a range finder.
That's true, yeah.
And sometimes that's excellent. I'd say, yeah, range them. But there's those situations where you're hunting them during the rut, and those elk are always moving, or you're set up in a draw and some deer are coming through, and you just don't have time to range, and you know you need to be at full draw. I talked to a kid the other day. He goes, "Man, thanks for sending this to me. Last year I had this big buck coming across the fence, and I didn't have any way to pre-range before. And he got out there, and in the back of his mind, he's thinking, okay, I could range, but I don't know if I got the draw yet. Do I draw now? Do I range? Do I? He was going back and forth telling me, and he said he finally knew that he needed to get drawn back, or else he would never even have a chance at a shot. And he didn't have time to range, and he guessed a yardage, and he shot under him, and that was the last chance he had that year. And that's how it is sometimes. I mean, guys were working, and gals are working, and you might get 3 to 5 days to hunt a year, and you might get one opportunity, and you just need as many tools as you can to make it happen sometimes. But that's the fun part of hunting. That's why we keep on doing it, I guess.
Exactly, that's part of the chase.
Yeah.
That's real. Yeah, this sounds like a really cool concept, and I can't wait to try it out. It'll be, right now I live fairly close to an archery range, which is very nice. And my soon-to-be work situation will actually make it easier, where I can shoot before or after work on the way to work or away from home from work. So I'll definitely get my archery practice in this year.
Yeah, you'll be ready. And I give all the data out because information is powerful when it comes to this. And I send information on the size of does, on size of 1.5 year old, 2.5 year old, and then the data size on these 3.5 year old plus animals. And as you know this data, and then as you look at animals, you're going to be able to sharpen your skills. And then this helps you even in the preseason, getting used to judging distance on animals. So I would suggest when you're out there practicing, try to judge the distance on your own and then hold this range viewer up. Yep, there's your face again. Yeah,
It seems that to cut out right when you get to the best part of your story.
I start to get excited, I know I like talking about it so much that yeah, it's really interesting to me.
You were saying you were giving advice of where to how to practice and what's a good method.
Yeah, so I'll send all the data that you need for does, 1.5, 2.5, 3.5 plus year old deer. Those are the mature ones that get to that 3.5 plus, and then they only vary about 5%. But it's set up specifically for a size, and of course there's that variation, so it only variation a varied a few yards. But I would recommend what this is going to do is help build that skill of judging yardage too. So I'd recommend going to a new place like your archery range, you estimating the distance of that target, and then you bringing the range viewer up and looking at it and knowing what yardage it is, and then just double checking with the range finder. Once you get comfortable doing that, that skill set right there is going to benefit you out in the hunting, out in the when you go hunting, because there's going to be times when you're not going to be able to range, and you might not even have time to use this range finder, and you're going to have to use your skills to know if that's 20, 25, 30, or 35 yards. So it's going to build those skills of judging distance too, which I don't think there's a product on the market that's even helping anybody out judge distance.
I haven't seen one. On what I've noticed is just people, just like you said, just practicing how to range without any aid. That's the only thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and there's such a larger skill set that archers need when they get out there in the woods. So
It's true.
that's what I'm excited about. It's kind of building that passion for me for archery hunting in. Well, I've always kind of had it, but it's just interesting going out. Like I was out hunting in North Dakota this last year and forgot to pack my range finder, and I had this on my bow, and I didn't have any anxiety at all about going out. Yeah, it was nice.
Wow, that's really cool. Well, Reggie, go ahead and give us a place where we can find your product, and also give us your Instagram where we can find you and follow you.
You bet. I've got a website. It's rangeviewer.myshopify.com, and you can get on there and look at the product. And I got some YouTube videos that describe it and showing ranging scenarios and what it looks like to look behind this range viewer and see the change at different distances. And then also on my Instagram, which is rangeviewer underscore archery rangefinder, it also has kind of the process of the rangeviewer coming to fruition, and then basically pictures of smaller deer being ranged and larger deer being ranged, and showing how with verification with the rangefinder too of what it looks like. And yeah, call text, and we can get this set up for anybody.
Well, if we want to order one, do we call in, or can we make an online order? How does that work?
Yep, there's an online order, and you'll just order the bracket and so the first bundle comes with the bracket, the band, and I call it the key, which is species specific. And then if you need extra keys, you can order them separately too. And if you have any questions about which one to choose, yeah, you can call or text me and we'll make sure you're set up right. And that's what I want it to be, perfect setup for you. And if we need to send you a new one or readjust something, because if you're using a mule deer one and you're practicing on a 40-inch target, you should be 100% on and feeling confident.
Right. Well, Reggie, I'm excited. I honestly don't know when I can buy one. Hopefully it'll be this summer. Tax return's coming, so maybe then. But I'll definitely let you know when I want to buy one. It sounds very interesting, and it's something like I've wanted to buy a rangefinder. I've actually been saving up my Cabela's points to buy one. And I still want one, but this sounds like an amazing alternative. And obviously, I looked at the price compared to a rangefinder. It's a fraction of the price of a rangefinder. And so that's obviously another possibility that I'm looking at buying.
Cool. Yep, we'll get you set up.
Cool. All right, Reggie. Well, thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. We wish you well on your pursuit in the archery industry. And with this product, it sounds amazing, especially for beginner hunters or anyone into beginning archery. If you just want to do archery for fun, it sounds like a great aid as that as well.
Yep, it'll keep you hooked.
All right, Reggie, we'll sign off for now.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Reggie. It was a pleasure talking to you. Make sure you guys go check him out. You can find him on his Instagram page. You can go check him out online on his RangeViewer website. That's rangeviewer.myshopify.com. It's very reasonably priced, everyone. It's much less. It's a fraction of a cost of a rangefinder. And I really encourage you guys to go check him out. It's a great new tool. To gauge distance, and like he explains, it's all based on the physics and anatomy of your eye. All right, everyone, remember to like and subscribe to this rate. Give me a rating. Subscribe to this episode if you want to support the podcast. With your with a monthly contribution, check out the link in there in the description. Also, go check out Built for the Hunt for all your outdoor supplement needs and training programs. Right now, they're doing a transformation challenge through March 20th, I believe. But yeah, go there, sign up for updates from their website. They're always coming out with new products. They just came out with a new line for Mountain Ops. So go check them out, guys. Again, that's builtforthehunt.com. And, like I said, guys, I want to hear your feedback. You can actually send me an email if you'd like with a question, or if you want to become, if you have someone in mind you'd like to hear on the web, on the show, maybe an experienced hunter friend of yours. You can email me at thenovicehunter@gmail.com. Just put your name in the subject line 9 and just, drop me a line. You can ask me questions, and I'm always looking for topics to talk about on my podcast. I really want to be this to. I really want this podcast to be consumer-driven, meaning I want to give you feedback on your ideas, on your concerns, so I can get your questions answered. All right, everyone, thanks for listening.